it's me, Brooks. I have no guest this week. It's just me. And I'm coming to you from a windy, chilly Chicago November day to talk about my very favorite topic, which is, you guessed it, books. Ooh, the crowd goes wild. I hope that you are all enjoying or finishing, as we are nearing the end of the month, the Alice Network, which is our November book. We just had our Chicago book club meeting this week, and I was super pleased to find it was a divisive read. It was an absolute favorite for some people and a least favorite for other people, and I love when that happens. Honestly, if this book club has taught me anything, it's that people do not think the same way. They don't always like the same books. Boy, no, they don't. It is so interesting, and it's really fun how differently, you know, printed words on a page can be interpreted when you are simply reading them to yourself. But one thing we did all seem to agree on about the Alice Network was this really strong feminist themes and the inner strength and drive of almost all, or maybe all of the female characters in the book, and there were quite a few of them. Specifically, everyone really seemed to love the characters of Eve and Lily, which we will discuss in further depth and with plenty of spoilers in next week's episode. There won't be any here. This week, I want to talk about, on a related note, that I recently wrote an article for a website called UpJourney, which is kind of a weird listicle website that's apparently, and I didn't even know this at the time, but like loosely centered around improving your life. But anyway, they asked me to share a list of books on any theme or topic, and I wrote the 20 best books with strong female leads and characters, in parentheses, to read in 2019. So you can check that out. I'm sure you can just Google UpJourney and then some combination of, you know, best and books and strong and female and characters in 2019, and it will come up. But yeah, there's 20 books on that list, which is a lot. It's certainly not comprehensive. There's a lot of books out there. I am sure I missed some really, really good ones. But today, I thought I would just talk about a few of my favorites from that list in case you're looking for something to read or you're looking for holiday gifts or what have you. It's a great topic. And our November Alice Network book should certainly be on this list. But unfortunately, I hadn't read it yet when I was writing this article. But it's fun to discover other books that could make it, that have really strong, you know, female characters. On that note, there is quite a bit of debate in feminist and literary circles on what even the term strong female character means, which I think is fair, because I think maybe some of the worry with this description or this designation is that we're going to end up with all these unrealistic, you know, superhero type women who can only have like the cutest, most attractive flaws, if they have any at all. Or that we'll, you know, we're just going to get these one dimensional, like, you know, uppercase strong characters who don't have any inner turmoil or any depth or any backstory. And that's, you know, that's what we want to avoid. We don't want automatons who can, like, think and leap and jump and be really hot to whatever degree that they need to in order to accomplish whatever task is put in front of them. So I think, at least personally, what I want this definition to show us or to give us is, you know, realistic characters who are overcoming something or accomplishing something or struggling with something and hopefully ultimately triumphing, but, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. And that's okay too. And I think the idea is that, you know, we get a diverse range of characters who are women who represent, you know, more closely all of the women that we know who are strong and interesting and flawed and diverse and smart and capable and all of those things. But Yeah, I think we could debate it for a really long time, which is kind of funny, given that that's what my article's about and that's what we're going to talk about today. I think that for me, yeah, I mean, I'm not really looking for like outward superheroes so much, although I think that is one way you could take this. But maybe just more of like inner strength, bravery, intelligence, vulnerability, you know, just character depth in an interesting way that shows an understanding of, you know, the female psyche or even female relationships or, you know, growth and life and all of that stuff. Yeah, I think that's what it means for me. Or maybe I just want characters who are doing and thinking things that don't directly have to do with men. Just kind of a character-based Bechdel test. And the Bechdel test is, for those who are not familiar, is this like super simple idea. It was coined in like the 80s by writer and cartoonist Alison Bechdel. And it basically can evaluate a work of fiction. I think I have seen it most typically applied to movies, although you could certainly apply it to books. And basically there's three rules. The rules are, in order to pass, two female characters have to speak to each other about something other than a man. And some people say that the female characters also need to have names, so they can't be just ancillary, you know, background characters. It sounds really simple, and that's kind of the idea, but you would be super surprised at how few movies actually pass this test. I was Googling around. I can't find an exact metric. Probably someone's done it. But I think the most recent one I saw was like the 2017 Oscar like nominee movies. Like 50% of them did not pass this test. And it's obviously it's a flawed test because you could have a really, really, you know, I mean, it's not a perfect test, and I don't think Alison Bechdel ever claimed that it was, but it is a really quick way to evaluate and sort of like take a look at how dominant men are and the stories of men and the words of men in our media, because they speak way, way more than women. They're featured way, way more than women, especially, you know, women of color or diverse women, especially. Which should be mentioned. But yeah, it's not a perfect test. But I kind of think, you know, it's simple. And that's, I think, why it has such staying power. Because you think, oh, all my favorite movies will pass that test. And the answer is no, they will not. which is kind of crazy. So without further ado, I would love to talk about a few of my favorite books from the list. The listicle, if you will, on Upjourney. And again, I really think the Alice Network fits this list, but it's not on there because I just read it. And we all just read it. All right. My number one, and I don't want to beat you over the head with this. I know I've talked about it a lot. My number one is by Frederick Bachman. And it's My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry. And it's the long, you know, the book with the longest title ever. I think it was originally published in Swedish. He's Swedish, so I imagine that the translation just didn't go that well. but it's also kind of funny and unique. Anyways, My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry. Oh, man, you guys. If you read a book, read this book. It is so wonderful. It's about a little girl whose grandmother sends her on this imaginative quest to deliver these letters of apology to people from her life. And it's super imaginative. This little girl has a ton of imagination. She kind of lives in her own little world. And she's coping with some traumas. And she's sort of trying to grow up. And she lives in this house. It's a lot of Frederick Bachman's books are like pretty Swedish. Like their settings are, as an American, sometimes hard to relate to or understand, but they're really fun to read about. So she kind of lives in this, like what I'm picturing to be creaky old house, although I don't know if they even have those in Sweden. They're probably all brand new and made of glass. But it's sort of this like multi-unit apartment building that's filled with all these people that she interacts with on a daily basis and that know her grandmother. And it is just a wild ride. It will make you laugh and cry and like feel everything. And, you know, Elsa, the little girl, is extremely strong character. So is the grandmother. So is her Elsa's mother. And they interact with a ton of other, you know, people in the building who are really interesting. It is so good. So very excellent. So don't let the weird long title throw you off. I feel like it almost did for me. And I'm so glad that I read it. Yeah. So My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry by Fredrik Backman. And I'm sure you say his name like Fredrik Backman. I don't know. It's Swedish. So pick that one up. Okay. Number two, Cersei by Madeline Miller. It is not spelled like Game of Thrones Cersei. It's spelled C-I-R-C-E, which I assume the Game of Thrones Cersei is adapted from, because Cersei is a Greek, she's a mythological Greek goddess. And you probably know her name. She's like most well-known or most famous because she was like this enchantress who turned Odysseus's men into pigs. And this is sort of an imaginative retelling of who Cersei was. Disclaimer, you do not need to know anything about Greek mythology to like or follow or understand this book. You'll probably get it at a deeper level if you do have that background knowledge. I didn't. And again, this is one that I almost didn't pick up because I thought, well, I don't really know anything about Greek mythology. I mean, I'm sure I studied it in like elementary school or whatever, but I don't really know anything. And I almost didn't read it. And I'm so glad I did, because it truly doesn't matter. It is an amazing, like insanely epic tale that spans, I mean, it's about a goddess. So it spans like centuries of human existence. It is so good. It's a fantastic story. It's so well written. And Cersei herself is just a super interesting, amazingly strong character. And of course, I mean, she is a bit of a superhero type archetype. She's a goddess. But I think that turns on its head quite a bit because the premise is that she's exiled. So it's about her like being in exile and sort of like coping with that. So I actually kind of wonder if this book does pass the Bechdel test, because she is in exile for most of it. So she's like alone, doesn't interact with a ton of other characters. It would be interesting to see, that would be a good example of like, okay, I would consider this book to be like, you know, she's an incredibly strong female character. This is a highly feminist book, but maybe it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. So anyways, if anyone reads it, let me know if it passes. I haven't read it in a while, so I don't remember exactly. I know in the beginning she does interact with quite a few other characters, so it's very possible that, you know, from the very beginning it's good. But yeah, this book is truly, it's an epic tale and really, really fun and very worth your time. All right. Number three, The Great Alone by Kristen Hannah. This one, I think my mom lent to me. Thank you, Mom. And I had read a couple of other Kristen Hannah's, I think, at the time. So I was already like, oh, yeah, I like her. Oh, yeah, she wrote The Nightingale. Yeah, I'd read The Nightingale, which is also great and is also on my Upjourney list. But The Great Alone is about a family. Well, it's really about the daughter who moved to Alaska. Oh, yeah, Lenny is her name. She's 13, and her dad, who has like a bunch of problems, he has PTSD, he was in the war, and he's got a drinking issue, and he's got an anger problem, and he's got a lot of issues, and he decides to move his wife and his daughter to Alaska to live off the grid, which, let's be honest, is never going to be a good idea. If you aren't raised in Alaska, don't move there to try to live off the land. That's insane. It's never going to go well. So it's a really epic. It's another kind of like epic yarn. But Lenny and her mom, I mean, they are certainly not perfect, but they learn a lot and they grow a lot and they do interact. They meet a bunch of other like women in this community and they sort of all band together. And it's a great story. It's a really fun story. Has some good twists and a fair amount of action. And yeah, it's set sort of like in the Alaskan wilderness. So that's something you don't read about every day. That book was great. So pick it up. It's also, I think it's a pretty fast read. Number four is a book called Harry's Trees by John Cohen. And this book, I have never seen this book recommended by anyone else. I don't know where I even found it or how I got a copy. I think I just ordered it, which is very unusual for me. It must have had really good reviews. Because I just like ordered a copy. Oh, you know what I think it was actually is Barnes & Noble occasionally does that. They do like a $5 hardcover like sale. And I needed like one more hard. I think you have to buy three. I don't remember exactly what the thing was, but it was like this Barnes & Noble sale. And you could get these hardcover books for like really cheap. And I needed to like add a third one. So it was just like, okay, I need to find, you know, a third book. And somehow I found this. Anyways, I've like not seen it on any other lists. And it makes me really sad because it's wonderful. And I recommend it to a ton of people all the time because of that reason. Because it totally caught me off guard. It came completely out of left field. I'd never seen it recommended anywhere. And it's super fun. Just now when I was looking it up, I discovered that John Cohen co-wrote Minority Report. What? That Steven Spielberg movie with what's his name? So that's crazy. Anyways, aside from that, this is such a fun story. It's also, man, actually I'm now seeing that there is a super strong thread. A lot of these stories are about like little girls. I wonder what that means. That's really funny. I didn't even notice that until right now. But they are. This one is also about a little girl. And her mom, and they've also just experienced tragedy. I'm trying to describe these without giving like any spoilers because I want you guys to read these books and I don't want you to have like too much information, but I want you to have enough information to know that you want to try to read them. So yeah, this one's also kind of about a little girl and her mom and then a man named Harry who is experiencing a personal tragedy and sort of like blows up his own life, and he's a tree surveyor for the forest preserve, but he like works in an office and never sees any forests. So he like decides to go to the forest basically. And then he meets this little girl. So it's also similarly to my grandmother asked me to tell you she's sorry. It's highly imaginative. There's like a cantankerous librarian character who's like very wise. It's set in like this small town and sort of the whole town is involved in this like kind of quest thing that they end up embarking upon. It's a really fun, like very fantastic but grounded in reality book that deals with like really, really heavy issues. I think a lot of these books do. They deal a lot with grief and loss and tragedy and like the relentless optimism of the human spirit. And I would say most of these, maybe with the exception of The Great Alone, have a fair amount of humor in them. Harry's Trees is very funny. My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry is extremely funny. I like humor, especially when you're dealing with like heavy topics like this, like death and loss, you know. So yeah, I'm weirdly only going to tell you about four. Four books, not three and not five, four. And that's the fourth one. So to recap them, My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry, Circe, The Great Alone, and Harry's Trees. I think all of these would make excellent holiday gifts if you are in the market, especially if you're buying for a woman in your life. They're all wonderful, really worth your time, good for the shelf. If you're looking to pick up a pretty hardcover or you want to check something out from the library, I read all of these books. I didn't listen to any of them, so I can't really speak to the audiobooks on them. If you like to listen, I'm pretty sure they're all, you know, pretty big sellers. Circe and The Great Alone, especially. I guess Harry's Trees. I didn't check if Harry's Trees is on Audible. I hope that it is because it's really, really wonderful. So yeah, four books. That's it. That's all you get. If you want to see others, you can look at my Upjourney. I would love more recommendations of books like this from you all. I know that I left out a lot, and there are so, so many more out there, you know, that have what any, you know, whatever your definition of strong female character is, like, I support it and I'm here for it, and I would love to read the books that you love. I might hate them, as we've discovered through book club. We don't all like the same books, but you know what? That's part of the fun. So if you have a book to recommend, please tell it to me. You can tweet me or Instagram me at Books with Brooks. Don't forget that Brooks has an E in it. And tell me your favorites. Maybe I'll read them and I will update my article, or I'll write an entirely new article. Who knows? So I hope this inspires you to maybe get out of your comfort zone and try a new book. And I hope that you read. That's the most important thing. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Books with Brooks is in the Press Play Podcast Network, and our theme music is by Jonathan Allen.